1-800-507-1047. Our webpage is warroom.com. It is my distinct pleasure to welcome to the show Dr. Mary Graybar, who is a writer. She's a scholar and a commentator. And good morning, Dr. Graybar. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
It's nice to have you on. Now, I have often said that the public school system, I'm a believer in separation of school and state, and the public school system is, look, anything that's public will eventually be hijacked by the left and used as a conveyor belt for their agenda. And it's particularly egregious to do it to young minds filled with oatmeal who have no intellectual resources or recourse to be able to argue with these authority figures that tell them what's what. You have witnessed this, haven't you?
Yes. I spent 2.5 days with social studies teachers here in Atlanta. And, listened to them. They thought I was one of them and, heard what they had to say and how they shared their strategies.
Well, tell us about some of the strategies for indoctrinating our little chillens.
Well, they put children into groups, and they have them react to emotional prompts. So instead of learning important historical facts and dates and stories about heroes, they will ask them how various victim groups felt about certain events. So they use emotional coercion. Teach them to become global citizens, advancing social justice without giving them knowledge about this country's founding and how exceptional it is. They have them do social studies rather than study it or think independently. They show them propagandistic films about Islam, which presents a nice alternative to Christianity. At least that's the way it's presented. And they get they emotionally coerce them to have sympathy for illegal aliens. One middle school teacher used a high school adult level book called Enrique's Journey, which is basically a polemic for illegal immigration. And she used it in her middle school class and had her students draw pictures and react to prompts like, I feel, from the point of view of illegal immigrants. So a lot of it has to do with emotional coercion and eliminating intellectual activities, thinking like a native, which was one of the workshops, thinking like a Native American, so presumably Native Americans, Indians, don't think in the Eurocentric way, which is logically. So.
Yeah, which also just happens to be the American way.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting here is, not only does the intimidation come from the authority figure, but it's interesting. It gets passed down to the group. And then what you have is the peers can work on the few people there who decide that maybe they're not buying into this. And so the peer pressure, so it introduces a reason for peer pressure in the group to silence anybody who differs from the group.
Exactly. That is what happens, yes. Yes, and the questions that the group has are their leading questions. The teacher's supposed to be, quote, facilitator, but what she's really doing is leading the students to the answer that, she feels or he feels is appropriate. Yeah, so there's peer pressure, and there's pressure from the teacher.
That's why they call them facilitators. They're not teachers. Your transformation is being facilitated. Just the word facilitator makes my hair go up. but, you talk about the idea of becoming a global citizen and also social justice. The idea of becoming a global citizen, which, by the way, is part and parcel of all this this international baccalaureate stuff, too, going on in the schools. Just as an aside, I know a guy who headed up a school board around here, and he wanted to get rid of the international baccalaureate program because, A, it was too expensive, and, B, he saw it as basically a kind of an un-American sort of hard-left socialist view of the world. You cannot believe what you unleash. You don't know about the networks of the left that exist until you hit the tripwire. He hit the tripwire, and all of a sudden, lawyers from everywhere, web pages with slanderous stories about his family, all this stuff. I mean, it was like Saul Alinsky's book suddenly exploded on a street corner someplace, and it was just unbelievable. And that's what these people are about. Now, this idea that global citizenship is a good thing suggests that it wipes out the notion of American exceptionalism, and it suggests that there is something greater than being a citizen of America while being a citizen of the world. I don't know. I've looked at the world. It's the bar scene from Star Wars. Why would I want to be like that?
Well, exactly. But yeah, that's what they're doing, and they have these community service projects as well, and they're working on these charitable projects, you know, that give aid to the third world. So, and a lot of it has to do with the emotional manipulation, which is one of the things that really bothers me. You know, I mean, I've been in academia for almost 20 years, and I can sort of understand, you know, you've got a Marxist professor in the classroom, and if you're, and if you have had a good education up to the point of, you know, the age of 18, you can sort of see through it. But if you've been, you know, in a school system where, you know, since kindergarten, you have been pressured to conform your thinking to the dominant view, then you can't see that, and you've been denied knowledge, And it was really disturbing, what these teachers were saying and what they were willing to do and openly talking about their goals.
Social justice, first of all. Social justice is just a nice word for communism.
Exactly.
And, you know, the idea that anybody who has any more than anybody else is somehow a bad person and that society at large needs to take their production and to share it with everybody else until nobody has any more than anybody else, which, of course, the subtext of that is, well, then there's no incentive for anybody to do anything or the culture to even move forward. But, of course, they portray themselves as progressives when they are really regressives. But this, the idea that they would teach social justice, that's communism. I don't want my kid taught communism.
Well, the other thing is that although there were several workshops on the Holocaust, that seems to be a pretty popular topic, nothing was mentioned about communism. And there were 10 times as many victims of communist regimes as there were of the Nazi regime. So they don't even, I've had students come into my college classroom, I've been talking a literary work by a writer who was a Marxist, and I mentioned the word communism, and they're all sitting there with blank stares, and then finally I ask them, someone raises her hand, and she says, well, what is communism? They've not been exposed to the term, so how can... So they're denied knowledge about
Mary, you know as well as I do that since the end of the Second World War, the left in this country, especially in the form of the New York Times and the media, has constantly tried to portray Nazism as right wing and communism as left wing in order to protect communism from criticism. I mean, the New York Times still thinks Alger Hiss was an American hero. I mean, what are you going to do with these people? I mean, let me ask you this. I mean, when I said, what are we going to do with these people? Here is my frustration. I'm sure you know about what they're doing at Berkeley High School.
Yes, I've heard about their curriculum.
Okay. So black and Hispanic kids are not doing as well in science as Asian and white kids. So the solution is not to give extra help to the black and Hispanic kids. The solution is to eliminate the science department.
Right.
Okay, so, well, by that way of thinking, if you really want to make life fair, let's just close the school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you possibly make a dent in concrete heads like that?
I don't know. I think there needs to be more public awareness. I think if parents...
That's what we're doing right here, kiddo.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, school boards, I know, my local school board, most of the people don't really know what's going on, you know, in the classroom. They need to be made aware of it. And what I would ask those people who want to, you know, close down the science labs is, you know, next time you need to have surgery, are you going to be comfortable with a doctor who could not pass the science course, you know, operating on you?
Well, we have now in our medical schools, we have affirmative action now. For mm-hmm. doctors, we're going to be admitting people by skin color, not by skill. And of course, what does that do for a black doctor? That stigmatizes the black doctor, because now if I see a black doctor, I'm going to say, no, I want a white guy, because I don't know whether he was any good or not. How does that help black people?
It's counterproductive, but I think a lot, you know, who's behind all this? I think are the descendants of the you know, the 1960s radicals. You know, they in 1962 when they met in Port Huron, you know, in their statement they overtly stated that they were going to gain influence by infiltrating the schools and cultural institutions. They were going to bypass the political system, and that's exactly what they've done. And so now they've trained, you know, a second generation and third generation of teachers who don't even know what their original job description is or what it should be, you know?
Well, yeah, they don't even know how they're being used.
Right, exactly. And they're going on emotion, and I think a lot of them are well-intentioned. You know, they love children, and they get emotionally involved, but they don't realize, you know, what harm they're doing to the children as well as to the future of the country, and that they're really just carrying out this communist agenda, you know, of the 1960s radicals, which, you know, I mean, their agenda was to bring about a communist revolution. So.
Well, their agenda was to destroy, I mean, there's a whole bunch of manifestations of that, the Cloward-Piven strategy and whatever, mm-hmm. whatever they can do to destroy the country so that they could build, you know, so that they could declare America fundamentally flawed economically and culturally and then build something new on top of it. I mean, we could go on for hours about how that works. But, you know, I mean, the term social justice, such a nice word. You know, I mean, God, who's in favor of social injustice? Well, that would suggest that capitalism, which is the opposite of communism, is by its very definition unjust.
Yes. I mean, Bill Ayers makes that argument. He says capitalism is racist. But to me, social justice is an oxymoron. You can't have justice by groups. You can only have individual justice. When, you know, I mean, you know, the founders talked about, Tocqueville talked about that. You know, you have the tyranny of the majority. So you can't have social justice. There's no such thing. It's an illusion. But nonetheless, they promote that. It sounds good, right?
Right. I'm running out of time. I would love to keep you longer, but the next time you go to one of these things, ask these people what they know about Che Guevara. I'm just curious.
They probably have posters in their offices.
Well, Obama had a poster in his Texas campaign office of Che Guevara, and
yes.
on a Cuban flag, and actually defended it. So, you know, that's where we are. Hey, Mary, thank you so much. What is your website where people can read more?
Okay, it's www.marygraybar.com, and that's my last name is spelled Grabar, no Y in it.
Okay, marygraybar.com.
Correct.
All right, Mary, keep up the good work, kiddo, and keep ringing the bell out there, all right?
I will. Thank you, Jim.
All right, good luck.